Hey, welcome to the DeviantArt Podcast. Thank you for joining us. My name is Matt Buchholz, and I'm going to be your host today. And today we're joined by Mark Brunet. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. Now, Mark, where can people find you on DeviantArt just to get started?
Just my name, Mark Brunet. And
Easy. You made it much easier than a lot of people. No lowercase x's, no numbers.
Just my name.
Perfect. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do in your art style?
Yeah. I've been a huge gamer all my life.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was younger, most of my inspirations were from games. So mm-hmm. like I would look at the, you know, like World of Warcraft booklets or like Warcraft 2 booklets or Diablo booklets and look at all the drawings in there. And that was mostly fantasy, you know, a little bit of sci-fi when it came to like Star Wars, StarCraft stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I would copy, you know, for fun. So a lot of my inspiration came from games, and that's usually what you find a lot of in games, a lot of fantasy. Originally, it was mostly fantasy, and then I started to get into like robots and stuff like that. So the two kind of merged over time,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, it's kind of a mix of both now.
Yeah, a great stylistic mix of that science fiction, like tech elements, along with the fantasy work.
Yeah.
Like your recent like Titan series has like some really cool tones to both, and the composition of your newest piece that you have on DA is just spectacular with the characters in the foreground, the giant titans in the back.
Yeah.
I love it. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your artistic journey? You were saying you got started by being inspired by some of these like World of Warcraft, StarCraft story books and different video games.
Yeah.
Where did it develop from there?
That was probably when I was around, you know, between 7 to 10, 12, something like that. After that, I figured that, there was this new thing, Photoshop. Well, it's not new. It was new for me, but that I could use to color my line art. So that's cool. That's kind of interesting. So I started to do more of that and trying to look for other people that were doing the same thing. And then, there wasn't much back then. So there was a few forums, you know, people like posting their art. And then a little bit later, I discovered DeviantArt. So that was kind of like the first big online community that I discovered as an artist. And so, yeah, I was all in for that. You know, I'm like, oh, that's awesome. Like, so many people are just like me. And before, it was just a few places, you know, in the dark corners of the internet. But now it's this big platform where a lot of people, I could find a lot of new art. And so that's kind of how I really got into it. And with forums, you know, you can kind of track how you're doing with the amount of comments that you get. But it was mostly, you know, hard to tell if people really liked your stuff or if they liked it more over time and things like that. But all the stats that you had on DeviantArt, things like that, now it's pretty common. But back then it was kind of a new thing. And yeah, like figuring out, I'm getting more and more favorites on each of my new paintings. It was like super motivating. And I think it just kind of exploded from there.
So when you were looking at that and kind of developing your style through that,
yeah.
What specific things were you looking at for how to change or adapt or evolve your art? Were you looking at just the favorites, or were you finding things in comments?
Yeah, a lot of it was just artists that I thought were really, really talented.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there weren't much tutorials back then, so no, it was kind of starting. YouTube didn't even exist, so yeah, to get better, all I had really was the art, and so I would just download them and look at them up close, look at the brush strokes, how they painted that. And I would try to mimic the same or copy color palettes, and yeah, basically just grabbing a bunch of stuff from different artists that were on a platform that I really liked, and it kind of just turned into my own style, I guess, over time. Yeah,
that's very cool. So you were completely like self-taught at that point,
yeah.
Like just developing everything purely observationally.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's insane. That's so amazing.
Yeah, I went to school a little bit to get my grades up, because I had the worst counseling when it came to just my career overall. So I was doing science. I was following a science path to eventually become like a computer engineer or something like that. And then do 3D art. So that's kind of the path that they thought would make the most sense. Obviously, it makes no sense. But that's what I was doing. So I went into science in college, and then I dropped out of that, realized that wasn't for me. And so I wanted to go in art, learn 3D, learn things like that. And so I spent one year in fine arts, just to get my grades up, because I had completely left science. So I didn't go to exams, I didn't go to anything. So I had really terrible grades. And for the program that I was trying to get into, there was, you know, just a minimum. So yeah, that's why I spent a little bit of time in fine arts to then go into that 3D program. I stayed there for a little bit less than a year, and then I got a job offer thanks to DeviantArt. So yeah, some recruiter found me on there, and yeah, basically just offered me the position. You know, are you interested in working in Montreal in video games? And for me, it was just like, I didn't really think about anything. You know, I was just painting, and so yeah, that's kind of
what an amazing question to get, though. It's like, hey, would you like a dream job in Montreal?
Especially yeah, and I've never been like a huge fan of school, so for me that was like, oh, it's my ticket out. Awesome, you know, finally. But yeah, it was pretty intense. You know, like you get this email, and it just in school you're doing your homework,
mm-hmm.
and then you get this email. Do you want to apply for? Do you want to do an art test for this company in Montreal? I'm like, hell yeah, and then I got it.
That's really interesting. So do you remember any art at that time that they had voiced interest in, or like what sort of stuff you were creating at that time? Because as you were studying like fine arts, I'm sure that a lot of the stuff that you were creating started taking a certain like.
Not really.
No.
I mean, that was the name of the program, but it was like super basic stuff, you know. Eventually, probably like in the following years, because it was a 3-year program, and mm-hmm. I left after the first year, so you know, I didn't really get to touch on a lot of the deeper stuff. But yeah, no, it was just I was just glad to leave.
it's interesting because in creative paths, especially around that time period, there wasn't much in place, especially for kind of newer media in digital art. Because I remember I was going into, I wanted to do game design,
mm-hmm.
and they sent me through electrical engineering, and it was the same sort of thing of just like, oh no, this is all coding.
Yeah, that's not going to help.
And it, yeah, it's nothing that would apply for a very creative field. And so now it's so interesting to see the way that like places are helping with art and the creative stuff.
Oh, now you got, I mean, to learn art is just so, it's everywhere. You just mm-hmm. go on YouTube, you got access to a lot of free stuff already. It's just knowledge about the different careers that you can have in art. You know, exactly what you're saying back in the days. I don't know, like you can work in games, freelance maybe for books and yeah. I don't know, for magazines, things like that. But you know, there was no like, No platforms where you can actually make money or just monetize your fame, like Instagram, you know, like
mm-hmm.
influencers. But now you can, and you know, for artists, that's awesome.
Yeah, there's a lot more ways for people to be visible now, but still kind of forming that community and finding that way to chat and talk with people is something that, I mean, you still see now, especially on DeviantArt, just like ways to push that up more and more mm-hmm. and for people to be able to converse more.
Yeah.
And it's neat seeing it be so accessible now where, I feel people can have more educated conversations or more detailed conversations on what they enjoy.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's different for every website, you know, like mm-hmm. the communities, depending on the website, sometimes it can be really bad. Other times mm-hmm. it can be great. Yeah. Like on DeviantArt, it's always been super positive. It feels like the people there, I'm comparing to YouTube because I do a lot of mm-hmm. YouTube and it's pretty toxic there. You don't get much, you know, positive feedback. So yeah, DeviantArt is always nice. You know, people actually will leave like detailed comments, and damn, yeah.
People get very passionate about art on DeviantArt. So, what would you say your favorite part of like creating is? Like, why do you find yourself driven to do art?
I don't know. It's more like it's something that I need.
Mm-hmm.
I was working on something, you know, like the last year. For a long stretch, I didn't do much art. I felt myself getting, not depressed, but almost, yeah, like everything is just not fun. You know, what's going on? Why am I borderline depressed? Let's call it that. And that's because I wasn't doing any art. So I started again, and then it's just back. I'm like, oh yeah, now I'm, you know, I'm feeling alive now. So it's not so much. Yeah, it's just a need, really. That's all it is. You know, I have all these ideas in my head, and if I don't put them on canvas, I don't know, something feels off. I don't know. Yeah, maybe it's a condition.
What do you find like a challenge would be for people who are looking to become a part of the creative field now?
A challenge? I think the biggest one would be just motivation. Just mm-hmm. because, and it has to do again with just the access that we have now to art. where it's just, you know, on DeviantArt, on Instagram, whatever, you're just browsing. It's just so easy, you know, so much art, and it's always finished most of the time. So you just see all these masterpieces, and you just yourself, you know, there, like, as a student, you know, am I gonna ever get this good? You don't really see the struggle that it took for that painting to exist in the first place. So all you see is just the end result. And then you look at your own end results, and it looks nothing like that. So I think that's the biggest part, motivation. And it's something that I see a lot of comments, just people like, I'll never reach this point, I'll never reach this level, so why even bother? And I feel like back in the days, I wasn't so much of a problem just because there wasn't as much art. You didn't have access to a lot. And so you weren't always bombarded by all this just cool stuff around you, and then making you feel worthless pretty much.
That's a really great observation that I wouldn't have necessarily come to. Like, that's, you know, you see all those finished things, and it's almost like the same idea of, like, on Instagram or whatever, you see the people who are like, I'm constantly traveling.
Yeah, it's perfect life, right?
Yeah. And so finding a way to realize when you do see those completed masterpieces that there is a lot behind it. There's the years of learning, and there's the undersketches and the deleted scraps.
But if you don't have that experience, how do you know? You know, you don't know. You just see this awesome art. I mean, I feel the same way sometimes. You know, you start to scroll through, and like, oh yeah, that's really good. I probably won't reach this level, and then you just have to stop and, you know, look at it. I'm like, okay, I can see the brush strokes, and I can understand. And then once you understand the process that went behind it, and it's, oh yeah, I could totally do that with a little bit of practice probably, but not knowing and just seeing all this stuff is, yeah, it can get to your head.
Yeah. So kind of what you're hitting at there is being able to identify those smaller things and like finding those ways to kind of appreciate the patterns that you see in the work that you see. And a lot of that comes from like proper sort of education and learning for the arts to be able to understand what goes into it.
Yep.
So you yourself are very passionate about education in the arts, and you've started your own art school.
Yeah.
So can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah. The first thing I want to say is it's an art school, but it's all online. So it's not, you know, it's not a traditional art school, because I'm super against that, but in the States, I mostly am, just because of the ridiculous price, you know, the price tag attached to that. So I started something small 2 years ago. It was going to be more of an introduction to a real art school. Mm-hmm. So like really just introductory courses on all the different main topics, all the foundation stuff. And it kind of just grew from there, because I saw the response initially. It was a small project that I thought I was gonna do, but then you got a lot of great feedback. So I ended up turning it into something much bigger. And so, yeah, it ended up being this 100 hours, 31 different classes, and like feedback every weekend with the students. And it's basically like an online school, but without the price tag, and with everything that I feel based on my experience in the industry and based on my friend's experience, what I feel is the most helpful for people. Mm-hmm. To be better equipped.
So what would you say then, without giving away all the secrets, is one of the biggest differences you see between someone who is kind of beginning in art and doesn't quite have the correct step to be a professional, and what a professional artist would be?
A lot of it, and it almost goes back to, it does go back to what we were saying right before, like knowing the process behind something is a huge part of actually being able to do the same. And so if you just look at final art and you don't know what went into it, and it's hard to gauge how am I going to get there. But if there's a process, and if, you know, the steps are easy to follow, and it's basically there's your path, right? So you have those different steps that you need to tackle, and eventually get there. You'll get to your goal. There's no mystery. Those are the steps. And a lot of people, especially that self-study at home, not necessarily following any program or anything like that, those steps are just, they're not there, right? So they have to find them. And then, is that the right step? Yes, no, it wasn't. So let's try another one. And you kind of just lost, you know? So you can practice a lot, but it might not really bear any fruit. And so that's the whole point of the art school program. The program that I created is that you know exactly what you should be focusing on. And there's no secret. So it's follow this, and then the results will come.
That's excellent. And so what do you think... Like for people who are doing the kind of learning at home, what is like one fundamental that you think that they should focus on? Is it like a composition? Is it the basics of like foreshortening and perspective?
It's going to be super obvious, but just studying from reference. That's when you learn, you know, when you can observe something, you gather the information, and then you process it, and then you can recreate it. But you need that source at the beginning. If you don't have that new information, you can never improve. That's how we improve. So that would be the number one, you know, most important thing. Use references whenever you draw something. That's how you learn. When you do it from imagination, you're just practicing your memory, really.
I think that's so huge because, like, so many people, I think, again, looking at the internet and not realizing the work that went into it, do think that you can just pull from the ether this complete piece and this complete finished product. While they're focusing on doing it just from imagination, they aren't finding ways to improve. And there's nothing to, like what you were just saying, nothing to measure against to see where their shortcomings may be.
And even along the way, you know, even people that are pretty good, you know, there's always some steps along the way, you know, when working on a painting or whatever, you know, whatever it is that you're working on, where you'll be like, oh, wait, hold on a minute, how do I do this? Like just roadblocks, and they're basically questions, you're trying to understand, okay, how do I do this? And every time you have that question, you should use reference. You know, don't try to wing it. Don't try to, maybe I'll try that. And just use a reference all the time. And then it smooths out all those little bumps in the road. And then you learn a lot faster this way.
Yeah, I feel another thing that you just like kind of hinted at there is the curiosity that comes with being an artist and really thinking like, how did this happen and why is this working? Yeah. Like, especially once you get into colors and like color theory, like why would these colors, like why is a salmon like pair with a mint so well? And just like colors that you would never think would pair, but you see them on paper and you're just like, oh.
Yeah, a big part of just improving is to be able to observe better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you look at something and you don't understand any of it, then how can you process that information and keep it long term, right? So if you just know what to look for, what to observe, how to observe better, because you know the background information that went into that, the fundamentals, and so you can observe them better, and as a result, you improve better. Also, it's all like this big spiral.
Who are a couple of users that you follow?
I follow a lot. the couple early ones.
Uh-huh.
Big inspiration was Stanley Lau, Art Germ. So I followed his journey for very, very long time. He's, you know, I think he joined around the same time, maybe a little bit sooner, around the same time as I did. So back in the days. Yeah. So he's been a big inspiration.
Back from like the Pepper Project days.
Oh yeah, there you go, exactly. Yeah. And then Paul Kwan also, now works at Riot.
Yeah.
But somebody that's...
Zeronis, I think is exactly. His username.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so many more.
Yeah, those are both great, amazing people to follow. Like, you picked some good ones. But you're being a little humble. I want to go back to you. So you're after you worked at the Montreal studio, from there, where did you go?
All right.
I feel like you set us up.
Yeah, another DeviantArt story, actually.
Okay.
So I worked for 2 years at that studio in Montreal. I was working on like their new engine. So I wasn't going to ship any game or anything like that. So it was pre-prod stuff. I had left school. So I'm like, yeah, this is it. You know, this is it for me. I just bought a house. And then 2 years in, I get this email from Blizzard, from a recruiter from Blizzard. And it's telling me basically, you want to do an art test for this new project that we have on. And I'm like, of course, but I don't have a degree. You know, I have nothing really. Mm-hmm. I'm a dropout. And so he's like, oh, that's fine. You're Canadian. You're good. So anyway, so I go, do the art test. Everything goes well. I get the job there. And then, so yeah, so I worked at Blizzard for a couple of years. But again, it was thanks to DeviantArt because that's how they found me in the first place. So yeah, always interesting. You know, the two gigs that I've had in my life were thanks to you guys. So that's why I wanted to come here. You know, it's a long drive, but I feel like I had to.
But like, how cool that you started by drawing stuff that you found in like Warcraft manuals and StarCraft manuals and Diablo manuals, and then you get to work at the place where all of that inspiration kind of came from.
It was pretty surreal, especially since in my mind it was just never going to happen. Right, there's no way I could get a visa to work in the States, so I had just kind of blocked it off. But yeah, to get this email, I was like, oh, wow, okay. So yeah, so I got the job and then I moved to the States. So it was about a little over 10 years ago, and I worked on Titan, which is which eventually turned into Overwatch, mm-hmm. for about 5 years, and then it was like a big reset where they kind of redirected the game to eliminate a lot of stuff and focus on the FPS part, and so that's what Overwatch became. But yeah, at that time I moved on to another team. I worked a little bit on StarCraft. And then on Heroes of the Storm for the rest of my time at Blizzard. And then, I had worked there for about 8 years. During that time, towards the end, I started to do a lot more YouTube to teach people, because that was kind of fun. I had had a really big following on DeviantArt, so I'm like, well, I could probably help these guys. I would get a lot of messages on each of my deviations, and I couldn't really reply to everyone all the time. It started small where I could, but it grew to a point where I really couldn't. And so my idea was to use YouTube as a mean to communicate the answers to a broader audience, so that I wouldn't have to type the same answer every time. And then that started to grow too. And eventually became my company. So
right, yeah, QBrush. Like, yeah, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so
like what initiated that step to go from just a YouTube channel to really pushing it into a full company?
I think it was a mix of a couple of things, but it was my daughter was born around that time. There was the big layoff at Blizzard, which is why I switched teams, and it was just kind of a warning sign. Like your life here is not as stable as you might have thought it was. If you lose your job, you have to go back to Canada. So you have a family here, but who cares? Who cares about that? So it was almost like a wake-up sign where I'm like, okay, I probably should try to have something on the side in case something happens with my day job. And then that something on the side was the company that I started, QBrush. And it started, it started pretty slow, something that I could do from home. At the same time as I was working, and I would do all my customer support and everything myself. I had a team, to actually build the website, but I would handle everything else on my own. And it grew to a point where after about a year of doing both, juggling both, I couldn't sleep anymore. So at Blizzard, it was fun, but routine was starting to settle in. And I had this other opportunity that was growing that I could see, it's going to keep growing if it keeps going the way it does. And it was a really hard decision. We get paid really well at Blizzard. So to go from that to nothing really, or to barely nothing, was pretty scary. But I did the jump, and thankfully so far everything's been working out. So
that's great to hear.
I'm still alive. it was a wild ride, oftentimes, but now it's working out pretty well. And now, I used to be an artist. Now technically I'm not. At least that's not my title, but it's still, a huge part of my life, mm-hmm. nonetheless, so, yeah.
Yeah, now you get to leverage your site for artists into your education for artists.
Exactly. So, QBrush, for those that don't know, it's a platform for our art resources, so you can find pretty much anything digital related on there. So a lot of tutorials, 3D models, basically all kinds of assets that you would need to create a game or to put together a project. And so it's still very much art related. So I needed that, and even though my day to day now is less art and more, just more management, but it's still very much for artists. Mm-hmm. And then the art school project, I'm selling it through there as well. So yeah, it's like perfect.
So what would people search on QBrush to find your art school?
So QBrush.co or .com works too, but .co /MB, that's my store. And the first thing you'll see will be all my courses. So the first one will be art school, and
excellent. That's super exciting and so cool to see. Like, I looked through all your promos and everything. It sounds great.
Awesome.
All right, well guys, thank you so much for tuning in. And Mark, where can they find you again on DeviantArt?
Just my name, Mark Burnett. So no space, nothing.
Super easy to find. We'll link it below. And you can find me on DeviantArt at ggmattb. And again, thank you to the entire team that made this podcast happen, our producer through Jules, our sound engineer, the author, and Matt, our artist relations person, which is Matt in real life. And guys, thank you again. Have a good one.
Thanks.